keep your younger brother Shankara with you because he's connected to me by pure unalloyed love. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking. Now, there are many verses because there's no purport, so I'll read the verses, and then there's finally, in 151, there's a translation. 148, I'll just read the English. Damodar Pandit replied, Shankara is my younger brother, but from today, he becomes my elder brother because of your special mercy upon him. 149. Then, turning towards Shivananda Sena, the Lord said, I know that from the very beginning, your affection for me has been very great. Immediately upon hearing this, Shivananda Sena became absorbed in ecstatic love and fell down on the ground. Offering obeisances to the Lord, he then began to recite the following verse. O my Lord, O Unlimited One, although I have merged in the ocean of nascence, I have now, after a long time, attained you, just as one may attain the seashore. My dear Lord, by getting me, you have obtained the right person upon whom to bestow your causeless mercy. And there's a purport. This is verse 21 from the Stotra Ratna, compiled by Alambandharu Yamunacharya. One's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead may be reestablished even after one has fallen into the ocean of nascence, which is the ocean of material existence, involving the repetition of birth, death, old age, and disease, all arising out of acceptance of the material body. Thereafter, 8,400,000 species of material life. But in the human body, one attains a chance to get release from the repetition of birth and death. When one becomes the Lord's devotee, he is rescued from the dangerous ocean of birth and death. The Lord is always prepared to shower His mercy upon fallen souls struggling against miserable material conditions. As Lord Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, Mama evo jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha mana sastani dhriyani prakritistani kashati. The living entities in the conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. And here I want you to pay special attention, Prabhupada noting the mind. He says he's talking about the senses, but he's singling out which include the mind. Thus, every living being is struggling hard in this material nature. Actually, the living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. And when he surrenders into the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he attains release from the ocean of birth and death. The Lord, being very kind to fallen souls, is always anxious to get the living entity out of the ocean of nascence. If the living entity understands his position and surrenders to the Lord, his life becomes successful. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. Premanandji. Aum Agyana Timirandasya Yanam Janam Shalakaya Chakshuran Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasaji Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya, Bhutale Shumati, Shri Prabhu. Om Agena Timiram Dasyam, Janam Janam Chalakaya, Chakshur Militan, Yena, Tasmaye, Shri Gurave, Namaha. Hare Krishna. So, as I mentioned, you're all very fortunate to be reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. In this specific part of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a dilemma. You have heard the dilemma. There's a great, powerful personality, the king. And he wants to have the darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But actually, he cannot have that darshan. Because the Lord says, it's very dangerous for me to associate with someone like a king who is so attached to material opulence. And he refuses to meet the king. Now the king is a very advanced devotee of Krishna because he's always longing for the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But even then, the Lord says, I'm a sannyasi and I should not associate with someone like a king. And therefore, I will not meet him. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, which is a close associate from the Lord, which has come from a very dry, impersonal world, and has been now exposed to the loving relationship of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and his heart has transformed completely. So he can understand the devotion of the king, but he can understand the point of the Lord. And then, as you all know, you're all influencers. You have connections, and then you go through your contacts. Give him a chance. He's a nice person, you know. And he tried to do that. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if you do that, I'll go away from Puri. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became very cautious about pushing it further. But he did mention that the king was very merciful to one of his devotees, which was Ramananda Roy. And Ramananda Roy, after meeting the Lord, you may remember that pastime, he could not think of anything else but Lord Gauranga. He was trying to meditate on Krishna, but instead, Lord Gauranga appeared in his mind. And that manifestation was so strong that he couldn't understand what's happening. He was anticipating in meditation the embrace of Lord Gauranga. Now, is there anybody who is a book distributor in the room? Only two? The man is changing environments. There used to be so many. One more? Coming up? Okay, we are indeed in a transition in the Hare Krishna movement. If I made this question like some years ago, most hands would say, yes, I'm a book distributor. For those of you who are book distributors, you might have experienced that when you are not attached to the result and you give a book and that connection is made, some kind of electrical shock goes through your arm, gets to your heart, and all of a sudden it feels like something ecstatic has taken care of you. Have you experienced that? You have. It is described by some experienced book distributor that that's the embrace of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he's happy that we took the position of giving the mercy of Krishna to someone who was otherwise not eligible. There's no justification for that specific person to receive this pure transcendental knowledge, which is considered to be the most secret of all knowledges. So we're all looking for something special, pure, advanced, elevated. And this is the topmost secret, the topmost gift, the topmost wealth. The more you can see that, the more your life will transform in the way the Acharya's lives transform. And we might visit a few of them as he's describing here their devotion. So that embrace of the Lord, Patra Parudamara. Can you help me? Prata Rudra Maharaj. He wanted it. He wanted that embrace. And that embrace was limited to him. So they come up with a plan that he should go and recite when the Lord is kind of resting in a specific forest in Puri on the way to Gondicha. He should go there in that garden. I think it's called the Vallabha Gardens. And in that garden, he will recite Srimad Bhagavatam verses. And that's his strategy. A very interesting lesson from the Lord when he's discussing about the king is that wealth is such an opulence, is such a powerful element. It has to be touched with great care. We have remembrance in our Gaudiya Vaishnava history when in Calcutta, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur built a very grandiose temple. And when he was about to leave, his disciples were fighting for the bathrooms. And he said, if I could, I would break the temples down and I would print books. And the warning was, wealth has a certain power, like fire, like water. Recently, traveling in Europe in this tour, I was in Leipzig and they took me to this waterfall in the Rhine. It's a big Rhine fall. I don't know if some of you have seen. It's a very powerful body. So you literally stay under the glass and you see this waterfall. It's a tremendous power. You see the river, it's very quiet. You cannot notice. But as soon as you look at that, this tremendous power is coming down. Also a fire. If you've been in a forest fire, you see what I mean. It just eats everything up. It's a tremendous power. Wealth is such a thing in the world. And at this point in time, ISKCON should be very cautious how we touch wealth and which source of wealth do we touch. Sanatana Goswami, in the sequence of these verses, he'll see the Lord. And Sanatana Goswami, he was very rich. Do you know that? Yes? How rich? Okay, give him a Forbes award to Sanatana Goswami. How much is he worth? I'll give you a hint. He gave a bribe of 7,000 coins to move away from the prison. If a coin is 31 grams, the standard weight, by the British gold standard, it would be 17 million pounds bribe. That's just a bribe. So we're talking of maybe a billionaire. He and Rupa could be billionaires. They could be discussing with all these billionaires in the planet. But what did he do? He left everything and he said, let's go and meet the Lord. And his secretary carried how many gold coins? 8. And the guest housekeeper was an astrologer. He could see that some people are coming with money and they have 8 gold coins. So he made a plan to kill them and to get the gold. Now, here's one of the points of today. Why did he want to kill the Lord? Oh, sorry, a very dear devotee of the Lord, just for 8 gold coins. That's the kind of power which it has, what it does to the mind. Now, the Lord immediately said, Sanatana Goswami said, you have carried coins. I told you not to. He said, my Lord, emergencies come up. So he said, give it immediately away. And he gave how many coins? 7. So the astrologer understood. He still had 1. But he understood. He's giving 7. All right, his piety awoke, and he said, all right, let us help him. And he revealed his plan. Now he became so confident that he told him, I would have killed you to get your money, but you've given it to me, therefore I'm going to help you. Now imagine if you're in a guest house, someone comes to you, I'm going to kill you, but because you gave me the money, I'll let you go, and I'll help you to cross the forest. I don't know how much you trust this person. I wouldn't trust so much. But they did, and they crossed the forest. When Sanatana Goswami arrived, he asked to change clothes because he had rich person had good clothes. Had good clothes. So this devotee was requested to give him clothes, and he chose not to take new clothes. He took old ones. He made it into Goswami wear, and he went to see the Lord. But what did he do? He had a very... Imagine, if you're a billionaire, it's easy to carry a chadar worth a few thousand pounds. So he had this Goswami clothes and a few thousand pounds chadar. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that, didn't say anything, and let it go. But he, with the corner of his eyes, indicated. And Sanatana Goswami immediately said, my dear Lord, excuse me. And he went to this place and he proposed to exchange a chadar with a very poor man. And what did the poor man do? Are you crazy? You want to give me a thousand or a few thousand dollars chadar in exchange for my dirty cloth? You're a sadhu. You're not supposed to be making fun of a beggar like me. And then he explained, no, it's serious business. I need your cloth. And he goes to see the Lord. The Lord is indicating that at one point, our heart will have to be cleansed completely. He again visits this event in when he's cleaning the temple of Gundicha. In that event, when he's cleaning all the temple, the devotee says, now it's very clean, my Lord. And he goes again, no, there's a little dirt on the corner, in that crack. And he keeps indicating until he's satisfied. And if you look at verse 135, Prabhupada there is giving very strong instructions about how to deal with opulence and what can economic development do to our heart. So one might say, so Prabhupada is saying I should not earn money? Is that what he's saying? And he's not saying that. If you read the purport, you see that he's indicating to us that if your desire becomes too big for economic development, that is detrimental to our spiritual life. So setting that field, and towards the end of the verse, he explains what is the proper use of wealth. I brought this point of today when you're discussing Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, because when we think about his farm projects, and here's my point of today's event, it was not just about growing some veggies on the corner, even though we can start by growing some veggies on the corner. His point was, we need to have a lifestyle which helps us in bhakti. We need a lifestyle which helps us with our children to have pure food. We need a lifestyle which does not bind us to this system which is out there dominating everyone and controlling everyone. If you own real estate here in the UK, there's so much tax attached to it. It can be 50% in some cases. And when you go to inherit, it's another 50%. You may lose all your property and the state is taking your property. So Prabhupada's plan for us was a plan, was a blessing. He was telling us these farm projects, they're supposed to be the place where we produce our food, we become autonomous and independent from the system. And I have a little PowerPoint presentation, which is up there. Yes, right there. Okay, let's go to that page we agreed, the gray dot up there, yes. Okay. So I've presented this in a few places, and I'm in this European tour, Feed the Earth. And that picture is showing what is the purpose of all this mentality behind this heavy industrialization. Why are they doing everything they are doing? What is the purpose of the Industrial Revolution? Anybody would like to give us a idea? Yes, Prabhu. Exploitation, money-making, good one. Anybody else? Sense gratification, very good. Yes, anybody else? Who can give more? Competing with each other, producing more. Yes, anybody? Yes. Go to the cities. You're getting very nice. Yeah.
Greed.
Greed. Who said that?
Greed, yes.
Any more? To advance in civilization. From the lady side. Material attachments, yes. All of those things are true, and they are symptoms. The real cause and intention was what's written on that board. Redefining humans. The real goal is that me and all of you become consumers. Who uses Amazon in the room here? It's practical, right? You get what you want without going anywhere. If you don't like it, you just give it back. The best deal. Who can beat that? But now, after some time, you don't know what shopping looks like. And remember those markets that you used to go to, meet your friends on Sundays? They're dying. In Glasgow, they're dying. I'm sure they're dying here. Because everybody's on Amazon. So the markets die. And when they die, if Amazon refuses to supply, you don't have it. So it's so convenient, but so imprisoning. And Prabhupada wanted us to be out of this system. He wanted us to be in a different vibration. Let's go to digital. I introduced the term digital transhumanism. Digital transhumanism. What would be transhumanism? Who can help me out? Anybody? I'll give you a clue. Trans, beyond, humanism, beyond human, going beyond the human limitations through digital, mechanical means. That's the idea. So that was the thesis. We're going to become self-realized, advanced in civilization by having machines, by having technology. And Prabhupada was very strong about that. And if you go down to background, Prabhupada understood what happened in the 1800s. Here in England, the coal mines, or the Industrial Revolution was very strong here, and they wanted to take everywhere. Then in 1870, we had to dig the earth, take the coal, take the different types of fuels until we got fossil fuels like gas and oil. That became atomic energy, and today that is digital data. So today the big asset is data. Everybody wants to buy your data. If you click any website, can we share your data? It's like every website, because that's a big market today, selling data. So from goods to very untouching things means we have no say in that. It's getting to a point where the real ability to grow food, to build a house, to educate your child is very far from us. To produce your own milk. And what is milk today? Sometimes some kind of white substance. But to get to the real milk, to the real, it's, we really have to go through a deep line. What is food today? It's, I'll show you. Let's go to agriculture. Let's go out, which is our topic today. Click on agriculture. That's what it was. That's the mentality Prabhupada was trying to prevent us from. This Fritz Haber, who is looking at us like a cartoon bad guy, right? Any children here? Your cartoon has a bad character like that. He's trying to get the goodies, yes? So he understood that he could transform the war military waste into agriculture. Urea from bombs became urea for fertilization for nitrogen. And look at the similarity of the tanks and the combiners. Isn't it? Do you see a similarity? The same logic, the same production line, the same factory produces the same thing. And the food there, is it really food? It's being changed so much with chemicals, pesticides. Do you have all the nutrition you need from your food? You know, you take a veggie, it's looking very beautiful from Brazil or from India. But what is inside? If you raise the nitrogen of any crop, you inhibit zinc, molybdenum, potassium, many others, which means some of the zinc you need for mental balance is out. And then you have so many mental problems, so much depression in the world today, so much cancer, because you have an imbalance of micronutrients in the food. So Prabhupada, in one stop, he was addressing everything. He was addressing that mentality he called Ugra Karma. He was addressing autonomy. He was addressing the way we deal with money. And I'll finalize with this, and tomorrow we'll elaborate more on the Vaishnava qualities that Prabhupada wanted, and that's shown in the Associates of the Lord in that chapter, in this chapter. We go out a little bit. Let's go out of this. Yes. This is some of the problems listed for you. We are losing 1/3 of the topsoil of the planet. We have glyphosate, it's spraying, it's causing so much problems. There's even now a study that shows that some of the autist children may have a connection, that the mothers receive contamination during pregnancy and the children have autism. So there's a big study trying to correlate that. And many more. We have heard that so much. Let's go out of that. Let's go out of that. Again. Again. This is Hungary. I was just there last 2 weeks. They lost all their corn. There's a drought in Hungary. The biggest one since 1901. It's just so sad. You travel through kilometers of dried corn. Maybe 60, 70% is... Imagine, this farmer has 300, 400 hectares of corn. He lost a few millions. He may never get up again. It's a big blow. And last year was a blow. So the farmers are being attacked by climate, by government, by companies, and they're going to the cities. Who said that? It's better to come to London, try a job. And who's going to produce our food? There's only 4% in America who stayed in the countryside. 4. From all the population. And they're becoming old. In many places, nobody wants to take their place because it's such a war. So that's why we're trying to educate, to stimulate, to inspire the congregation to start looking at this. Even if you're looking at a pot, I'm growing one pot for Krishna. And I'm going to see what color this, whatever you like, beetroot, carrot, you plant one, you see it grow, learn how to grow it, and come and offer to Radha Gokulananda. Radha Gokulananda, I grew this carrot for you. I waited 4 months, and here it is. Please accept this. Imagine if all the congregation was doing flowers, and on Janmashtami you're bringing bunch. Maybe you're already doing that, bringing bunches of flowers to the Lord. Or in today's, we're going to discuss, can the congregation get together, organize itself to get more pure food, to grow food, as a community bonding element. We don't look at it as production first. Community bonding. We put the community together. Is there value into that? We're going to investigate. So from 9:30 to 1:30, we'll be in this Bhakti Lounge. and many devotees have come to discuss. It's more a strategic meeting. We want to see how we can promote this, how we can engage everyone into this. Okay, let's go out. One more. And I want to just Nandagram, Brazil. We started a project. Look how dry it is. Prabhu, click on the very dry photo. Yes, there. Can you click on it? Yes. Okay. Is it dry? Does it look dry? It is dry. It's semi-arid. 300 millimeters a year. Okay? That's my wife. We decided to put trees in that place to see how it, what would happen. Yes. This was the pandemic. We went back to Brazil when we started. We have the farm for 50 years. Nobody had ever touched this. It was right. People were just cutting wood, putting animals, taking out soil for buildings. So we fenced it. And here we donated part of the farm to a public school for 25 years ago. And that's, we started teaching them what is soil. What is the benefit of learning all of this? Let's go to Nandagram, Brazil. There's another box, yes, there. That's what it's become in 3 years. Can you see? Does it look green? Click there. That's not a Photoshop, that's real. That's been 3 years of working that land, the soil, with minimal irrigation. Because you may say, oh, you put water, it became very nice. We put a little bit of water. We only have a 35 millimeter pipe coming through. And it's a very little water. And the system is called agroforestry. So I'm developing an agroforestry model, which can help us to understand how to restore dry places. And when you have a rich place, it just explodes in abundance. So that's one of the things I'm doing there. To finalize the class, just like there's hope in this picture, I want to tell you that there are a number of devotees planting, growing, feeling the bliss of the earth. And I always think that the Indian congregation, they are not so much into farming. Let's make a quick survey to end the class. Hare Krishna, where are you from? Stanmore. Stanmore, you have a background in India?
Yeah.
Which part of India?
Gujarat.
Gujarat. Do you farm in the UK? You do?
Sorry?
Are you farming?
No.
Job. Would you farm if I invited you?
Yeah, of course,
yeah. He would. That's very good. Let's take another Indian origin citizen in the room. Anybody from India here in the room? Yes. Where are you from in India?
Karnataka.
Karnataka. That's a beautiful state. Very flush. Eh? Do you farm today? Would you like to?
It's in my retirement plan.
It's in your retirement. That's excellent. You have news for you today in this meeting. So when I talk to Indian origin devotees, usually they're not farming in the UK. They're more in the IT and doing jobs. But I found one gentleman in Coventry, right next where Shakespeare was reciting his poems. And he's doing 90 acres of farming. So nice. Coriander, he's doing shaks, he's doing all the Indian-related subjects. He wants to do Corella. He's doing really well. He's got 60 workers with him. That was astounding to see. And he wants to make a goshala. He wants, and I was trying to give him some directions and put him in touch with our network. We have a whole system, certificate of readiness and different courses to guide. Now, if you go to his farm, there's so much happiness in that farm. He has black soil like you have in Ukraine. And the plants are so good. So he takes six cuttings of coriander and he just puts in boxes and he's sending and shucks. And I was amazed to see. And he says, I'm one of the only Indians I know that is farming. We should be farming and we should do this. And he recorded a little video for us. So his point was, land is so valuable. He's a real estate developer, by the way. He says that I understood that if I farm, I'm always getting more. I have health, I have pure organic, I want a model, I want people to come to learn. We, the Hare Krishna movement, now have the mission to do this. And tomorrow, we'll be talking about a completely different topic, which will be humility. And I will try to connect to you some of these points. And now, if you come, I'll tell you what His Holiness Bhakti Charaswami told me in his last years with us in the planet. Because His Holiness Bhakti Charaswami Maharaj, he wanted to help the ministry when he was the GBC leader. When he was a GBC leader in 2017, he was the chairman. He phoned me and he said, I couldn't help you, but this year I want to help you. And he did. And tomorrow I'll tell you, if you come, I'll tell you a little bit about that. But today we're a little over time, maybe. Is it? No overtime? We still have time. We still, okay, good. So then I'll open to questions and comments, because that will make us interact a bit more. Yes, one question is coming right from the Brahmachari Ashram Intelligentsia. Any microphones?
Thank you. There's something I was thinking about for some time. Is if we're doing simple living and high thinking, do we need rice for temple worship? Is it spices that don't really originate from here? Is it practical, or is it
beautiful
to worship
Krishna? Beautiful question. I'm so happy you made this question. What's your name, Prabhu? Bhakta David. I told you we are dealing with the intelligentsia of the Brahmachari Ashram. He's observing and he's seeing we have rice and spices from India and perhaps bananas from Costa Rica and oranges from Spain. And he's making the calculations. Do we need all of this? Specific rice, because rice should be a very important item. Your question deserves a deep contemplation. The contemplation is, when we progress in bhakti, and that's the topic of the verse, we need to see what's favorable, what's unfavorable. And one of the favorable things is to have time. Because time is the thing we don't have today. Because we have to work so hard just to be here. I heard that a house can be £500,000 here in the neighborhood. And in Coventry, it's £1,000,000. And I was, wow, how do you work to get £1,000,000? In my currency, that's like unachievable for a regular. For you might be easy. I don't know how easy it is for you here, but it sounds very difficult from a third country perspective. So Prabhupada wanted us to save time. To do that, he was proposing simplify your life. So that's the second principle. Now, simplicity is connected to what comes naturally. Simplicity is not a standard. Here we only eat deshi vegetables from the UK. That could be a law. But what is simple for you? Now, when you look at the bigger picture, Bhakta David, what seems simple? You go to Sainsbury, you get a 20 kg bag of rice, and you drop it on the kitchen, and you think, I'm helping the deities. It's very common to see the kitchen with so many bags of rice, dal. But we don't usually think, what is the route of that rice? What's happening to the planet for that rice to come from India to the UK? What's happening to the environment? What am I doing to the environment? Am I even thinking about this? Is this important at all? And the reason why it's important is the global warming. There's a change in climate. Every farmer tells you straight up, yes, there's a change. Hungary, there was a change. Sweden, there's a change. And that makes it hard because, for example, one farmer in Sweden, Anjaneya, was telling me 2 weeks ago that he always seeds some specific varieties of radish in the very late winter. So when the spring comes, it's going. But he said it was so hot that time that they just died. It's not expected. He's expecting to have cold weather, and then he's going to go. So the whole food system, which we think it's so organized, I go to my Amazon. I don't even have to walk to Tesco. They drop at my door. Behind the scenes is a very complex and fragile system. Very complex and fragile system, which at any point can crash. If we think that all of us in this room are depending on one element, think about it. All of us here are here because there's one ingredient we are consuming. What's that? Rice. We may have debates around that item. Who said oil? Oil, Shama Sundraji. We've been talking about this. Oil. Yes. Air will be the natural ingredient available all the time. Yes, we all depend on air and many other things, but one artificial ingredient, sorry, my qualification question was oil. If you remove oil, everything stops, even the Tesla, because the wheels are made of oil. The panels and many things are made of residues from the oil industry. So to transport, to fabricate all the plastic, that's coming from oil. So all our civilization is holding on one very thin leg, oil. And that's why so much discussion about electric or no electric. So your question deserves a deep contemplation. Should we be eating rice at the manor? Now, if you remove rice from the manor, maybe part of your brahmacharya ashram may leave the manor and go elsewhere where there's rice. Actually, in India, there is a phenomenon in Mayapur, which is a flood. Sometimes the Ganga doesn't have the darshan of the Lord, so the Ganga is eager to touch the lotus feet of Radha Madhava, and it goes right up to the altar. Somebody from India will recognize it, and the children love it, because that's when they swim in the Ganga. Now, the chili supply is cut. The food chain becomes disconnected. And the brahmacharya ashram goes through serious discussions whether they should remain in Mayapur or they should go and book distribution in another place where there's chilies. So the question remains, should we be eating things from different parts or shouldn't we be eating things from here? I'll give you three arguments towards eating food here. Number one, that beautiful tomato which you buy at the market. If it's not organic, it has 65 days of spraying. My father went to audit horticulture production in Brazil, right, from the government. And he realized that from 70 days of crop, the Brazilian variety of tomato takes 70 days. 65 were sprayings. So you're taking this beautiful red Italian tomato, pomodoro, and you bring it to the table. If it's coming from third country, be sure there's very little regulation. From Italy, maybe a little more regulation. I'm not sure. You have to check. But there is definitely a lot of spraying. So argument number one, you're bringing to the table poison. Let's say I'm a friend of Vishal. Yes, he told me. Vishal is my dear friend. And I say, Vishal, I have a special offer for you. This is half a cup of glyphosate. Can you drink it? What would you say, Vishal? Scared? No, thank you. Not today. But if I gave you the same cup over 30 years, one dose at a day, you thank you, Prabhu, you gave me prasadam. Yes, it was prasadam, but the molecules are also present. The prasadam is prasadam, but the molecules are the molecules. So, just by feeding the temple, feeding the brahmacharis, which food, which may be poison, feeding our children, we may be contributing for a big disease bodies in the future. So that's argument number one. Why should we be doing locally? Argument number two, it's called prana. Prana is a kind of thing which we need to live. Pranayama. When you do that, you feel the difference. So the amount of prana in a food which is grown by you, harvested by you, and cooked by you is so much different. And one evidence, you just take some mint or some basil, put it on your counter in your kitchen and see what happens. The whole kitchen is fragrant with that. Take one from Tesco, put it on your counter, you smell it, it's there, but it's not there. It's not like the one you harvest from your garden and put on your counter. Why? It's full of prana. And prana is life. And life is present when life comes from life. So if you submit your fruit, the mangoes you eat here from Brazil, sorry, they're not mangoes. They are cooked at 90 degrees because they're afraid that the flies will be transmitted. Cooked mangoes, you can do mango chutney with that, but to eat the mango, it's never the same. So the second point is life. You want to transmit life to your family, to the bhaktas, and that life is important for us to have strong resolution. Steiner says, if you eat a food which is not wholesome, you won't have the determination to do what you decided to do. So sometimes we procrastinate. We don't have the mental power to do what we want to do. So that's argument number two. And what's argument number three? I'll have many more, but I'll end in number three. Is that there's hidden hunger. If you research hidden hunger, it means that the fruit is beautiful, we mentioned before, but there is lacking micronutrients, flavonoids, different amino acids there that you need to become healthy and strong and shiny. You go to a farm, people eating naturally, there's a certain shiny, they're shiny. Because it's all the nutrients they need are there. All right? Question. I'm not controlling the queue, Vishal. Maybe you can control the queue. Supplements. I'll just take the supplements. Yes, they're important. Especially if you're having a deficiency, they're important. But nothing beats the original design of Krishna. And Prabhupada wanted us, back to Dave's question, he's really referring us to, if we do it right, we have the right everything on your one action. You grow it, you have it. You have the nutrition, you have the prana, you have the economy, everything is there. But right now, it seems more practical to get the donations to buy at Tesco's, to get the job and buy at Tesco's. It's more practical. I can just even order it. But on the long run, if you think about the whole system, you see that for my bhakti, this may be a little bit not so interesting. Okay? But tablets, yes, they will help. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for inspiration. I am inspired to have one pot after your lecture.
Jai.
And I have a question. Where can I get the right seeds? Now I think this is a big issue. Please, can you guide in this matter? Very practical.
Your question is profound because it has many meanings. I'll give you the external meaning of your question. The external meaning is, where do I buy the seeds? And a good idea is, if we are growing together, someone is saving seeds and distributing for the community. I have your seeds. It came from a class for Namahata, and I showed a beautiful red tomato from Sweden, organic. And the person in the class said, I want a seed of that tomato. So I dried the seeds, I kept them, and I brought some. I have extras, I can give it to you. So that's your external answer. So someone saving seeds is very important, because if you have the seed, you have the whole production. If you control the seeds, I depend on you. So the whole idea is, seed saving is freedom. And see, like Prabhupada wants us to grow food exchange so that I can grow my own food and I can go on despite the system, despite what I've shown you. I don't depend on them. If there's a crash in economy, I continue. Ah, Prabhu, but when will the system crash? Well, it's crashing in many places right now as we speak. There's an economy crisis in South Africa. There's conflict in the Middle East. There's a drought in Hungary. Brazil just had a flood of 3 months, South Brazil. I mean, we don't need to say much. Just turn on your news. And you have a list for you. But we don't believe it. Prabhupada believed there's a crisis. We don't believe it. So that's the external. The internal is we only get bhakti from bhakti. If a pure devotee has devotion for the Lord, that devotion is transmitted by his words, consciousness, vibrations. So when we associate with a devotee who is pure, we feel so happy, don't you? I mean, when you go to a kirtan, you hear Satchinandana Swami, he's not the most perfect singer, but his singing is so perfect because it's so full of chit potency. Bhakti is flowing out of his mouth. And then he's just inviting you to sing, and when you least expect, the whole room has transformed into the spiritual world. Isn't it? So you get that by associating with him. How do you get the seed to grow? By associating together. Here's a man who decided to make London grow food. He started the Grow project. Right? Tarun Krishna is right here, and here are the members of the group who have done that. And by associating, you start to have a vision. Hey, this is nice for my children. They start to understand life. They start to understand that food doesn't come from the supermarket. Food I produce is way superior. If I put my devotion to this plant and offer to Radha Gokulananda, how they appreciate. And we understand that nature works. Rather than the technology works, which it does, nature works. Hare Krishna, welcome. There are more seeds, but I'll stop here. Is that okay? Yes, we can talk more about that. Because that leads to the point of tomorrow, which is we have to cleanse the heart to be able to get pure bhakti. And that natural environment is very conducive for cleansing the heart. Because there's less passion, there's less shopping center, there's less bombing on your phone, and you can look at the stars, you can again see the moon, and see, we follow the moon calendar because the moon actually works. There is such a thing as a full moon, there is such a thing as a waxing moon, and you see it in the sky. And then you look at your calendar and you say, oh, it matches. Because you have inside yourself reconnected to your natural functioning. The cycle of the moon, the energy of the sun, the natural ingredients of the planet exist within us. Just like the original seed of spirituality exists as a jivatma, which is a part of Krishna. So when we recognize the outer skin and we sink your body, then you reach the peace level, which is what we're going to talk tomorrow. Why devotees, after practicing 30 years, they still feel like, but I still have that desire. I still have that problem. I still have that anger. What is happening inside? We discuss that tomorrow. Today I wanted more to show you the farming side of this verse, which we think it's only about relationship. But what are you talking about? Agriculture in the middle of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because the mentality behind it is a mentality of simplicity. It's a mentality of glorifying the Lord and getting away from all the false enemies of bhakti. That's what it's here. And Prabhupada's formula was helping us to do that. Okay? All right, I think I'll end here because we have a whole seminar coming up. And if you're interested, it's going to be in the next room. Is that it? Back to the lounge. It starts 9:30. So thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Premanandi. Hari, hari.